Hi, this is Yatsio of Animoca Brands, the driving force at the outer edge of the blockchain revolution, gaming, and digital ownership. You're tuned into the Edge of NFT, a production of Edge of Companies, journeying next to the outer edge of technology on April 23rd in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Keep listening and join us in Riyadh.
Hey, Web3 curious listeners, stay tuned for today's episode to learn why Animoca Brands is heavily energized by collaboration opportunities in the Middle East, and what forged the partnership between Animoca Brands and Edge of Company to bring Outer Edge to Riyadh for a historic one-day summit. Lastly, find out how the partnership between Animoca Brands and NEOM is going to support one of the most ambitious projects on this globe. All this and more on this special Road to Riyadh show. Cue the intro.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast that brings you the top 1% of Web3 today and what will stand the test of time. We explore the nuts and bolts of the business side and also the human element of how Web3 is changing the way we interact with the things we love. This podcast is for the dreamers, disruptors, and doers who are pumped about this ecosystem and driving where it goes next.
Welcome to the Edge of NFT, the podcast created by Jeff Kelly, Ethan Janney, and myself, Josh Krieger. It's another production of the Edge of Company, a quickly growing media ecosystem empowering the pioneers of Web3 tech and culture, responsible for other groundbreaking endeavors like Outer Edge Innovation Festival, where we are going global with our next stop landing on April 23rd in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, for a Web3 Innovation Forum, where leaders and visionaries unite to forge the future of smart cities, gaming, finance, and art. This special show today is the Road to Riyadh show, and it features Yatsu, co-founder and executive chairman of Animoca Brands, a titan in Web3 gaming. With a seat on the Hong Kong Task Force on Web3 development, he has been instrumental in steering the city towards becoming a global Web3 leader. Under his guidance, Animoca Brands evolved into an educational powerhouse supporting over 450 projects. Recognized as one of Web3's most influential figures, Yat is shaping the future of digital property rights in the open metaverse. For those that don't already know, Animoca Brands is a leader in digital entertainment founded in Hong Kong in 2014, and they transitioned from mobile to blockchain gaming and NFTs, which they lead with cutting-edge blockchain gamification AI technology. Through ventures like Mochaverse and the Motorverse, and investments via Animoca Ventures, they champion economic freedom and innovation in Web3, securing significant industry acclaim and financial success. Animoca Brands is shaping the digital future project by project. How are you doing today, Yat?
Very good. It's late here over in Boston, but I'm having a great time, and thank you for having me on the show.
It's always a pleasure. You're in my hometown. I don't know if you realize that.
No, I'm learning that for the first time. So do look forward to some good tips here. Yeah, it's a bit chilly here right now.
Yeah, that's why it's my hometown, but not where I live anymore. But amazing schools and great lobster rolls, and hopefully you can see the Celtics while you're there. They're playing like a beautiful symphony or ballet or you name it. I mean, those guys are amazing on the floor.
Well, I mean, speaking of something sort of curious, the hotel I'm staying in, actually, it's the same hotel that the Yankees literally just moved in to as well today. We came in this morning, and then a big bus of, you know, I guess Yankee players came in. I guess it's going to be maybe an exciting game happening. I was totally caught unawares, and there were people outside sort of, you know, paparazzi taking photos and so on. It's like, what's going on here? Well, you know, what's happening here? So it sounds like there's a lot happening here in the city.
Yeah, there always is, but be careful. That's a vicious rivalry. So you're in the middle of like enemy turf right now. I know it's cold in Boston, but it's definitely warmer outside these days and warmer in the world of blockchain that we dwell. And you've been like a leading voice for during these good times and bad times. And now that it's warmed up, what has you most excited?
Well, I mean, I think the exciting thing is that, you know, we think of this really as a beginning. The warming up, obviously, I think really what kicked it off is, to a large degree, you know, spot ETF, but, you know, the Bitcoin spot ETF, I think is going to continue to sort of push the narrative in terms of, you know, what broadly speaking, sort of crypto and Web3 is all about for us at its start. And I think that's also partially because Many other countries around the world are also basically saying, hey, well, why should the US have all the fun? Why should only they have spot ETFs? So applications all over the world are being submitted, whether it's in the UK, whether it's in Hong Kong, possibly Singapore, Tokyo. All these places will eventually have Bitcoin spot ETFs, and eventually from that you'll have other sort of so whether it's Ethereum, or for instance, most recently there's been some developments around the GameFi index. CF Benchmarks basically put out an index that's now quoted in Bloomberg. I think 20 tokens that are sort of a basket of tokens that essentially represent a kind of gaming index. So you can see all of these things happening right now that is sort of bringing the broader financial industry into Web3, and particularly also Web3 gaming. But then I think also the other thing that's happening there, of course, is that many of the products, particularly in the gaming space and the product side, that were building during the bear, which was the last really year and a half plus, are now all coming out. And also the investments that we started to make, for instance, we invested and led rounds and titles. As you know, we were known earlier for having not just built and supported companies like Sandbox. We also invested in companies like Sky Mavis, a company by Axie Infinity and OpenSea back in 2019. And then they became sensations in 21, 22. Well, the companies we invested and supported in 21, for instance, they're all about coming out now. So whether it's companies like Pixels, or most recently Mavia or Psy, all of them have come out recently, and to some pretty strong success. So again, continual reinvestment in the space, and the value that's been sort of brought into the ecosystem, and the growth it's helped create in the ecosystem is what we can be excited about, because they're bringing new people into it as well. Like for instance, when Pixels launched on Ronin, it helped obviously Ronin grow. But all the Axie Infinity players had the new title to play, but in so doing brought new players into Pixels that then brought these players back into Axie Infinity, and so sort of created sort of this great sharing of network effects, basically on Ronin, for instance. So you can see how sort of Web3 is essentially growing through this sort of shared network effect, where they're mutually sort of supporting each other, and we're seeing this whole ecosystem broadly increase. Obviously it remains volatile. I mean, it wouldn't be sort of crypto if it wasn't, particularly in this early stage of capital formation. But yeah, it's been exciting to see how Web3 and blockchain has been evolving, and really excited about what's going to happen in 24 and 25, particularly in the areas of gaming and education.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something that, sparked a memory for me of your first appearance on our show. What it was about 6 months into our evolution as a podcast at that moment. And I'm not sure if you remember, but we did a campaign together where there were some Edge of NFT race cars in your new game coming out, Rev
I
Racing.
remember. Yeah, Rev Racing. Absolutely. I remember. Yeah.
And that was a real incredible moment for us, because you don't expect as an early stage startup to have your brand in a leading game. And it was a real honor, but it also was an educational experience for me, because I realized the power of cross branding and affiliation among communities. And I want to thank you for that opportunity. And at this moment, we're actually just crossed 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So we've come a long way.
Congratulations. That's amazing to hear. So happy to hear that.
So just to zoom in on one particular market where I tend to be visiting a lot, and I keep running into you as well. I think I've been to the Middle East maybe 6 times the last 6 months, and always seem to find you there as well. It's clearly an interesting spot. I'd love to get your perspective on why this market is relevant to Animoca Brands.
Well, the Middle East is, one of the fastest growing markets generally, and not just related to sort of, Web3 and blockchain, but also in many ways, the region has also demonstrated leadership in those areas. When you take a look at, for instance, UAE with Dubai, or the developments of places like Turkey, you can see that there's been some sort of rapid developments in the place. I mean, Dubai has sort of created sort of very much sort of the, I guess you could call them, sort of a, almost a sort of banner carrier for, Web3 and blockchain, particularly in the early days, and remains one of the major hubs in this area, alongside places like Hong Kong and so on. But of course, the one market that I sometimes often describe as the China of the Middle East, right, in terms of its dominance and in terms of its size and importance in the region, is of course Saudi Arabia, right? And the kingdom has, not, it's not just sort of, its economic force, and obviously, its industry is like particularly sort of powering the region here, and there's obviously wealth that it has. I think it's, maybe number 20 or 22nd largest sort of, GDP in the world, is that it's going through an incredible transformation led by sort of visionary leadership, where it is really sort of, trying to sort of make the kingdom become much more digital and creative, sort of focus on the creative industries. And it wants to leapfrog, obviously. It doesn't just want to sort of emulate what's happened. It wants to be sort of creating new sort of visions. And that's kind of what you see when you think about Vision 2030 and the development of projects like NEOM that we're working together with, for instance. I mean, that is in and of itself a grand, grand vision. Certainly sort of the likes that not many places have seen before. But the combination of sort of a visionary leadership together with a country that is super excited about what's happening, and the energy, as you have witnessed yourself when you go there, when you go to Riyadh or Jeddah or anywhere really in the kingdom, you'll notice that sort of in sort of electric energy of wanting to have progress and to create sort of sort of betterment for the people and for the kingdom broadly, and then of course being supported financially to build this infrastructure. It's very, very exciting to be able to sort of witness and be in that moment. And I just want to add this other thing is that, for some people who have, may see this or have heard of this, it sounds almost unbelievable, building like this new country called NEOM effectively, right? In some ways, right? And sort of, without transforming its entire economy, which, into one that was sort of dependent on sort of oil, to one that's sort of in the creative industries and technology industries and the gaming industries, which Saudi is, very ambitious in. Most of the people in Saudi, the young people are all playing video games, for instance. And most of the population happens to be sort of under the age of, I think, 37 or 38. So again, a young population that's sort of very gamer friendly. But we've seen this already happen in China decades before, right? When you think about sort of the special economic zone, and there's a whole Shenzhen experiment. I was just in Shenzhen actually over Christmas. And while I always knew there was development, and I've seen it before, this was the first time I've seen it since COVID. And the city has continued to develop, and it really is a place that is effectively, a new country that didn't really exist, decades prior, for instance, and is an economic powerhouse that essentially is driving, in this case, some of the leading technology companies in the region, companies like Tencent, for instance, that are based over there. And I think there's, in some ways, you could say that the vision of NEOM is kind of similar, right? And so maybe if you haven't witnessed this before, you might say, well, that sounds outlandish. How can people sort of create something like this? That seems almost, fantastic. But then when you see what China did in the program of the Delta, you wouldn't really look at that and say, well, that sounds crazy, because yes, it's wildly ambitious, but it has been done before, but in slightly different form or shape, but still the effects are similar. So, we see the vision and determination for that. And it's exciting to be part of that. And that's one of the reasons we started to invest in the region and go there and build stuff, because we see similar potential of how China was decades earlier and how Saudi will essentially sort of be that for the Middle East, the MENA region, and frankly, to the world.
Well, you're in Boston, where, just about a decade ago was one of the biggest construction projects in history, the Big Dig. And so, you can run in a green sort of field in the middle of a highway, that's underground now. And that's the type of building I experienced in Saudi Arabia when I was there. I heard about a replica of the Champs-Élysées that's going to be in the middle of Saudi Arabia, that they're building Opera House. There's another city being built sort of in a bubble outside of the city that's going to have like its own, climate. There's also this incredible initiative to plant millions and millions of trees and create a more sort of stable weather pattern with rain. It's really incredible what they're doing, and it sort of reminds me of the early vision of blockchain and Web3 and the potential we saw in it, and they're sort of manifesting this incredible vision. So I can see why like someone like yourself, someone like me is attracted to a country like that. And it sort of is a good sort of segue to maybe what brought us together to do this unique event we're calling Outer Edge Riyadh. So I thought maybe we can kind of reflect on that journey a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think, one of the things is around sort of, when you think about sort of Web3, broadly speaking, the potential that Web3 is, and I guess as I earlier said, I think the kingdom in particular has a desire to leapfrog. And I think if you also think about sort of examples of countries that leapfrogged their peers, as it were, you know, South Korea is a great example. When South Korea had sort of its economic crisis, it went ahead and decided, we're going to build broadband infrastructure in the late 90s, when, you know, every other industry was essentially collapsed. And in some ways, you could say, you know, that sounds almost ridiculous. Why would you be building internet and why would broadband infrastructure when, you know, your prior agriculture industry, whatever industry, you know, needs resuscitating, so to speak, and your classic industries? And look at South Korea today, I think 12th or 13th largest GDP in the world, entirely driven by intellectual property and sort of creative industries, whether this is video games, digital technologies, some of the largest messenger products, and of course, strong leadership in areas like, you know, Web3 and blockchain as well, particularly, in Seoul. So I think the message here simply is that, you know, you want to invest in the future and you want to leapfrog your peers if you can, especially when you don't really have an existing, I guess, incumbent infrastructure that will sort of resist it in some ways. And I see that same opportunity in places like the kingdom, because Web3 is the next iteration of the internet. But for the places where you have strong incumbent forces, you know, the classic Web2 companies and Web2 industries, they're going to be the ones that are more resisting towards, you know, essentially allowing a new kind of disruptive and more powerful sort of, I guess, social networking, internet narrative sort of take over. But in places like the kingdom, actually that plays to their advantage because in some ways they don't really have anything in the Web2 space. I mean, they're users of it. And by the way, that's true for most places around the world. But they're not really sort of owning a stake in it and having sort of a way in which they can play have a meaningful sort of, you know, position or share this. And the kingdom has demonstrated that it wants to do that. I mean, it's the biggest investor in video games, broadly speaking, in public video game companies, for instance. And it's a major investor in many of the tech companies and AI companies around the world, whether it's private or it's public in terms of government funding. But it has, you know, it's not really been to the benefit, I would say, for, you know, its region specifically and its direct sphere of influence. It's more sort of been one for capital opportunity, but not really for bringing in sort of technological know-how and sort of expanding sort of that. And I think this is the opportunity that they that we see for the region and one that I think they share with us, which is why we've been investing and building so much in that area. So I think that's exciting. And obviously for yourself, I mean, you know, maybe go into that a little bit, but it does strike me a little bit that more knowledge is needed around sort of the areas of Web3. And that's why sort of this idea about launching, you know, basically Outer Edge, Riyadh and so on, I think is really important. And there's also hunger, I think you've noticed as well, right?
Yeah. So when we started Outer Edge and originally it was called NFTLA, we broadened it over time to include new types of conversations, to include DAOs and gaming and infrastructure and really that intersection between entertainment and culture. But the idea has always been to push the Outer Edge to its full boundaries. And we've considered expanding for quite some time. I've talked to you about it and appreciated your mentorship there in terms of thinking through different possibilities. And it just, I wanted to take this concept somewhere that hasn't been charted before, somewhere exciting where you could really sort of envelop the ethos with which the event was created, which is co-creation, curiosity, connection, where you can cross a global audience with a local audience and really break bread and, in this case, have tea and dates and coffee. I would tell you the Arabic coffee and dates are amazing from eating any of them on my trips. And really figure out what's possible here. What can we do together that we can't do individually? What can we do across venture, across founders being creative with each other, across creators and builders and sort of looking at the government side of things as well. And what happens if you bring all that together? And I'm just really excited about the kinetic energy and the potential from doing that.
No, that's very, very exciting. And I think that the kingdom as well has demonstrated, a desire to sort of lead and invest in the space, right? And I think that's obviously something that's happened with us, with the partnership with NEOM. But also, consequently, when we invested in companies like Nukta, which is, Saudi Arabia's first, NFT marketplace, perhaps only NFT marketplace, really. And I think one of the other amazing factors that most people don't probably realize or know about Nukta is that, one of the key founders is a woman, for instance, right? And I think to me, that was sort of representative a little bit of sort of the change that is the kingdom that, from the outside, people who don't know anything about it would find it almost unbelievable because they still have images of, what it once was. And again, I have some empathy for that because it's the same as I remember when, I first came to Hong Kong and I saw the progress that Hong Kong and particularly China had. And I would tell my friends about China, that seems like a real big deal. We should probably pay some attention to it. I would be like, what? Did they just have the Cultural Revolution? And, isn't this like, again, right? It's like, unless you go there, unless you see it with your own eyes, unless you witness what's happening and learn about it, you will, be stuck with, ideas of the past. And unlike maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, when you just take it as a comparative example, what we do know is that change is just inevitable. Change is happening so fast, right? So even if what you thought might have been true 1 or 2 years ago is not true today anymore, in terms of a country or a nation or its people or its progress, right? All these things evolve so quickly that you can't take a viewpoint that is even a year old and say, well, that's the truth, because actually, it develops so quickly. I mean, perfect example, when you think about sort of market volatilities and market opportunities, if you look at, for instance, the value of the Web3 space, right? It's now a $2.7 trillion industry. And about a year and change ago, it was under a trillion, right? Wow. With all the cataclysmic sort of things that have happened. And again, for the people a year and a half or so ago, they wrote off the industry and they said, it's never coming back. And, we see this before. People used to say the same thing about the internet. They used to say thing about sort of, all sorts of industries out there, right? But as an example, right? And here we are, a year and a half later, and it's roaring. The thing is that the kind of change of going from an industry that appeared to be on its knees and like a year plus later is essentially the champion of the sort of, growth potential in industries and the excitement that's happening when you think about all the major finance industries, financial institutions trying to get into Bitcoin spot ETF or launching sort of, Web3 related projects, for instance. That evolution happened so quickly is, I would say, more the norm that change happens so rapidly. For a lot of people, it's maybe difficult to sort of translate because when change happened, it happened more gradually. It happened over a period of time. And just think about the evolution from, to electric cars, for instance, or the evolution of the internet, or even the evolution of the mobile industry. Yes, they were very rapid, but they were not as rapid as Web3. Right? And so this acceleration, this pace that's going on, I think it's just, that's the one thing that, it seems to be certain, which is that change is inevitable and change happens ever faster.
Absolutely. I think people are going to be surprised at how quickly the blockchain, Web3, immersive gaming industries grow in Saudi Arabia. And I think we have a historic opportunity here with this event we're doing together to showcase what's going on in Saudi Arabia to the world. And I'm so humbled and grateful to do that with you, and fortunate that we have folks like Salwa, the co-founder of Nuntuk, that is speaking at the event, and she's actually helping us to curate some really cool art from local Saudi Arabia artists. So that's going to be fun too.
I mean, actually, on that note, I mean, I guess let's talk about Outer Edge Riyadh. I mean, what can people look forward to? I mean, it's you talked a little bit about sort of Salwa speaking, but broadly speaking, let's dive into that. Maybe that I think people would be interested in knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really fun process to put this together with Animoca and some of our other partners we'll be announcing soon. And what I would say is that it's a unique event, which really is a combination of art, culture, gaming, the metaverse. We're going to talk about smart cities because Neom, of course, which is being built out there, is an incredible smart city under development. And we're also going to cover AI as well, because there's a, AI is a big thing out there. I was just at Leap, and a lot of cool AI technology to discuss over there as well. So it's a 1-day VIP summit. So it's a slightly different format than we've done over in LA, where it's really about bringing 500 or so leaders from all over the world and regionally together over 1 day to discuss what's possible. So of course, it's going to have some elements of Outer Edge LA in it, some performances and some art, which is like, some of the unique things that we do that maybe not every event in the space sort of presents. But it's also have some great conversations, some breakouts. We'll have some local food. You gotta try Arabic food if you haven't already. So those are some of the
Yes.
fun elements. Honor that you'll be one of our keynote speakers. I'm sure you've already put some thoughts together about what you want to say. No pressure.
So, how can people who are interested apply it? What are the criteria?
Yeah, so we're really looking for change makers, founders, leaders, folks that are investing in the space, creators, of course, that are really passionate about what might be possible by coming over to Saudi Arabia, or as well, of course, we'll have a lot of folks from Saudi Arabia there as well. So everyone can go to outeredge.live and then click on our link for Riyadh. And there's an application process. The event is April 23rd, so it is limited seating, so you're going to want to sort of get over there and apply right away. And then, within a short amount of time, we'll review all the applications and let folks know if they've been accepted. I will say that it's not that complicated to get over there. There is a visa process, but it took me about 5 minutes to complete the paperwork, and want to make sure that folks think about that as they're going through the process. Pretty straightforward. And if you're already going to Token 2049 in Dubai, it's a direct 2-hour flight. You're there before you know it. There's like about 10 flights a day going back and forth. I've been on many of those. I'm sure you have as well. So hopefully some
Yes,
of the
indeed.
folks that are already coming over to Dubai and are curious will come over there. I know one of the folks that will be speaking, Bessa, he's an artist that is really well known in the region. He's always in Dubai. He's been looking for this opportunity to come to Saudi Arabia. And I think a lot of people have been like trying to figure out, when am I going to get over there? And I think this is the reason that they've been waiting for.
I agree. I think the opportunity, I think for people in the region, if they want to help sort of expand and grow, particularly the Web3 market, I think in some ways it is necessary for them to actually go in and help educate as well, right? I think this is one of the sort of important roles that I see us as not just industry leaders, but just industry participants, broadly speaking, is that, like in the early days of the internet or whatever it is that we're trying to sort of, push forward, it is kind of a movement. And so it is incumbent not only on, large companies in the space, but actually on anyone to help make it grow, because we all have a vested interest in seeing it succeed because it's just the better internet.
Absolutely. And the economic opportunity there for the kingdom and its people to contribute to this blockchain economy globally is tremendous. I spent quite a lot of time with my taxi driver because I went to the Leap conference recently, which is about 1 hour out of the city, but a little bit longer than that with traffic, because it was almost like a work concert. There were so many folks that were going. And he sort of had a chance to eavesdrop on a lot of my planning conversations about the event and learn about NFTs from me. And I could just tell you, after that trip, he was hooked. He was hooked on Web3. And he's an immigrant from Pakistan that now lives in Saudi Arabia. And I think for me, that was a real spark of what's possible there. I also had a chance to go to a meetup. It kind of reminded me of crypto meetups in LA when in DC when I first got into I also had a chance to go to a meetup, and it kind of reminded me of those blockchain meetups I've been to in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., early when I was sort of curious about what's possible in this industry. And there was a record turnout, according to the organizer, in terms of who was at the meetup and people from all over. And I had a chance to share this event. And I can't tell you how excited the local community was about this event. There's a real grassroots energy there of folks that, were like, just thank you for doing this and bringing global awareness to what's going on here. So I'm excited for everyone to learn about these projects that are happening in the region, these incredible entrepreneurs that are really eager to join hands with global leaders to make this industry brighter, more creative, more abundant with incredible technology and innovation.
I think one of the attractive parts around why, particularly the kingdom, is could be such a leading force, and I think they see this as well. Just where we ended up having some of these early partnerships, which maybe we can talk about a little later, is that the MENA region in itself, right? I mean, Saudi isn't just Saudi as a country, which is obviously has a very young population, that is also very much into gaming and very much into digital technologies, but the MENA region itself. Expands basically through Africa and other parts that, and of course all the people who are working, like the example of that Pakistani driver. I mean, he's sending money back to his family probably in Pakistan as an example, or whether it's from India, it doesn't really matter. There's actually a huge population of them working all out through the MENA region, in search of these economic opportunities. And one very easy example is you can use blockchain technology to essentially remit funds in the future. It'll basically back at a fractional cost of that, right? And I think most people in the sort of employment side of things, whether they're construction workers, whether they're people who are, basically just general other kinds of labor, they have very little interest in seeing so much sort of money being captured by an intermediary. Because of course, if more value goes back to, the family, the happier the people will be who are working there, for example, right? And so there is sort of an attractive narrative around sort of financial inclusion and financial opportunity. And of course, the fact that that means that if they do better, of course, they could help grow their own economies. And also, of course, the domestic economies in which they operate, because, many of those, I guess, migrant workers, they are economies in themselves. I mean, they literally transplant like the entire sort of, like a village or a city or maybe even a small country from one country to another. I think something like, I think in Saudi alone, there's something like 10 million of them. Or something pretty sizable. So these are sort of areas, very easy sort of areas in which blockchain technology can really sort of help advance. But then I think the other thing, of course, is that Saudi also has a great interest in exporting its culture more, right? I mean, if you think about, when you think about sort of the origin roots of NFT LA, why did it start in LA? Because LA is essentially the center of, in many ways, the export of American culture. And American culture, everything that came out of Hollywood effectively, is what sort of changed the world or influenced the world. And I would argue that the Hollywood sort of soft power is what gave America its present soft power, shall we say. And not, people talk about the dollar and they talk about the military, but actually, it's ideas. It's actually the stories that were told in the medium of movies or radio or television, those are the things that actually really sort of help influence, shape, and change the world. And that is that soft power. And I think, the kingdom, wants people to learn about it and really speaking it through the traditional mediums, of which there are many incumbent forces, doing it through Web3, NFTs, and blockchain technology. Is actually the medium in which you can tell our new stories, in this case, the kingdom stories, but any stories in new and creative ways that speak to audiences in a manner which are no longer gatekept, because that's the thing, right? I mean, when TV came about and essentially sort of replaced radio, it actually provided not just a new medium, it provided new players opportunities to sort of represent their content in new ways. And then, we saw that with the internet, right? And then, we saw that with mobile. And now we see this with Web3.
Absolutely. And of course, gaming is a major part of the evolution of entertainment and culture as well. And I increased the amount of shows that we do in gaming over the last 6 months because there's a lot of interesting things happening in that area of Web3. I look at that part of the Los Angeles ecosystem is really important as well. I just did some recent events with Sandbox about the future of entertainment and gaming here in LA, where they now have one of their offices. And I'm just continually amazed at how gaming pushes the boundaries of Web3 technology and is really a leader in that space. So naturally, of course, I would think that Animoca Brands would gravitate to Saudi Arabia from the perspective of gaming and how much they love gaming and how interested they are in investing in the future of gaming. Maybe you can speak to that a little bit more and what you've experienced. And I'm curious if you've had a chance to check out any esports games while you've been there. NFTLA returns as an inclusive week of community events throughout LA, celebrating the outer edge of innovation.
Builders be building.
There's so much energy colliding around gaming, AI, generative art, the metaverse, decentralized social, and the future of entertainment.
If you want to be in the mix, including the official free NFTLA celebration, visit outeredge.live to subscribe for your updates and RSVP.
So, the very first experience that I had in Saudi was when I met Prince Faisal, and he showed me the various esports teams. And it was basically a 3 to 4 hour game of Rainbow Six. And I have to say that that certainly was an eye-opening experience, not because I haven't seen Rainbow Six esports competitions. I've seen them, in various forms and so on. But that I actually saw that in, Saudi, which was not something that I expected. And that, a big fan and a big promoter of the space was, a member of the royal family, Prince Faisal. Who has essentially helped push this industry forward in really amazing ways. And, one thing that most people don't realize, for instance, is that the kingdom is perhaps the largest gaming investor in the world. Certainly, I think runs perhaps the only sovereign gaming fund, with something like $38 billion, right? And invested in some of the biggest gaming
Wow.
companies in the world. Generally public, but still, right? And of course, these are things that they're doing there. And because they have such a young population, and they're all playing video games. It's also one of the highest ARPU markets in the world for gaming, broadly speaking. And it's I think I don't know if you want to call it a secret, but everyone knows that His Excellency the Crown Prince is known to be an avid gamer and plays games to relax. And so that's sort of that culture permeates through the entire country from top down, right? And so that's how many, let's call it, prime ministers or presidents around the world, can you say are actually sort of fans of video games or openly saying that, right? I mean, I can't imagine. I can't even imagine
I
it.
bet
And
more
that's a
fans
thing.
than would divulge, but yeah, point taken. I admit
Yeah,
it.
exactly.
I played mobile games at the end of my day to relax. NFL Rivals is definitely my favorite.
Well, when you think of this, right? I mean, 3.4 billion people in the world play games. The probability that you meet someone who plays games, as opposed to someone who doesn't play game, is incredibly high, right? And this idea that, our political leadership around the world does not play games, or at least pretends not to play games for whatever reasons, sounds almost incredulous. Or they are representative of not the majority of the online world. I mean, that's the other thing when you think about it, right? I mean, in some ways, I would argue that the Crown Prince actually has much more of a pulse of what young people are interested in because he's in the space, he's playing games, versus maybe some other sort of, I guess, sort of political members in other countries who, whether they do or don't, obviously, they, as you say, they might not divulge that. The fact that they would sort of, maybe in many cases resist it actually shows that they're actually not in sort of the understanding of that generation. And I think that's, by the way, true when you think about medium changes as well, where, when you think about, television in the early days, right? I mean, sort of, JFK actually used the medium of television to great effect, when he was effectively someone who most people at the time didn't even think would have a chance because he understood that medium and he spoke to the audiences that was sort of, sort of in that, for instance. So again, I think there is something to be said about that, and that's what's exciting, right? To me, it's exciting that it's not just the leadership being fans of gaming. That's cool, but it's the fact that it's driven by something that is already clearly the future. Gaming is bigger than movies and music combined. It's probably the largest influencer of new generation, let's call it culture, right? Gaming as a culture, things that we do in gaming, how we connect with people, the social networking that happens in gaming. I mean, that is already, super fast, so fast growing, and is, probably one of the most important growth factors in the future. And it has already been over the last decade. So it makes a lot of sense for us to sort of explore these new markets. And the kingdom is one of the most important ones, we think.
Totally agree. Well, it's getting late, but I'd love to hit on a couple more things before we adjourn for this evening edition of Edge of NFT. One is that you recently announced some monumental partnerships with Neom and with Cast, and I would love if we could break each of those down. Let's start with the Neom partnership. How did that come to be, and what are your aspirations there?
Well, I mean, as shared earlier, I mean, Neom is, this incredible project, which, for those of you who are not familiar, go online and check out some YouTube videos and go to the website and just learn how ambitious of a project this is. This is essentially the creation of a new country with, business-friendly laws. It's kind of like a special economic zone. Again, very similar to, I guess, what the Pearl River Delta, at least in spirit, sort of had in its plan and succeeded in building it. But I would say architecturally, design-wise, and sort of future vision-wise, in terms of wanting it to be essentially sort of a very sort of carbon-friendly, looking at it sort of using AI technology and now with new blockchain and Web3 technology to help drive it forward and make it a much more connected and space with more economic opportunities for everyone involved. I mean, these are grand visions, you could say. But they're willing to sort of invest in that grand vision and make it happen, and that's exciting for us to be building there. And I would say that Animuka was very much involved in helping shape their ideas around Web3 and giving them that understanding, such that they were excited about it. They were already always looking at how to build the future, but I think we helped them sort of collaborate with them to help shape those ideas more firmly, which then led to this announcement and our partnership with Neom to basically bring Web3 to the kingdom. And of course that also obviously expanded in a relationship with CAX, right? I mean, that's a it's a great honor for us, because that center is essentially the center of science and technology for the kingdom over there. It's where they do the research to essentially build out essentially the most important, I would say, science and technology infrastructure for its region. And the fact that we're basically working with them on to bring Web3 to the kingdom as well is for us quite an honor, but also I think demonstrates just how important they do believe this technology is for the kingdom. Because it's not just a national project like Neom that's now embracing it, but it's basically also their official sort of, I guess, public sort of science and research technology sort of center.
Yeah, and they've made really concerted efforts to create a hub of technology innovation. I had a chance to go to Riyadh in trying to figure out the perfect place to do Outer Edge Riyadh, and I stumbled upon the garage, which is owned
Yes.
by Cast or affiliated with Cast, and it is a technology hub. And it's really unique and has a very interesting Web3 vibe because they basically took a garage and re-engineered it and turned it into a technology hub of all these thriving startups. And then upstairs, it kind of surprises you when you go up there. It's this beautiful conference center with this really
Yes.
cool conference room with Arabic graffiti. In this rotunda with lights and this beautiful LED screen. So when I saw it, I was like, this is where we have to do Outer Edge Riyadh. There's nowhere else I want to do this event.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
And now for a quick word from our sponsor before we dive into the next segment. Are you ready to take your sports predictions to the next level? Look no further than MainCard.io, the fantasy management platform that's taking the blockchain world by storm. With MainCard, every card is a ticket to excitement. You can predict sport outcomes, trade cards in the marketplace, and challenge opponents in thrilling weekly duels. And don't wait. Head to MainCard.io now and start earning rewards with your NFTs, because it pays to be early. And now back to today's episode.
This has been a really cool conversation. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to unpack with you why we're both so excited about the kingdom and why we're co-hosting Outer Edge Riyadh together. I just wanted to sort of take a step back and reflect on what we've discussed today and think about how you see events like this in the countries like the kingdom, Saudi Arabia, influencing the global trajectory towards Web3 mass adoption.
Well, I mean, I think, as I said earlier, you know, blockchain and Web3 technology is something that in particular has great impacts in areas that have less financial inclusion. And so when you think about Saudi and its influence, which is the MENA region broadly, there's actually a great need for technologies like blockchain, because it brings them more into sort of a financially included infrastructure and gives them that opportunity. And most importantly, it gives them, in this case, digital property rights. And we know what physical property rights have done to national economies. It's helped them create capital formation, business opportunities, intellectual property protection, all these things. And the same can now be done in the digital realm. And it can be done so in a manner which essentially serves its national interest, which is essentially why it's so exciting to work with Saudi, because as you have seen yourself, there's a great, great interest in helping make the country grow in this space, in one that is of interest of its people in terms of how do they have more opportunity, more prosperity. I mean, that's part of the, like, you know, mission statement, you know, of NEOM, to sort of expand these business opportunities and these business horizons. And you know, that's also the vision of Saudi Vision 2030. It's, again, a vision of how do you expand the economy of Saudi? How do you make it sort of, greater and more sort of, I guess, future-oriented in terms of, you know, technologies and opportunities for the benefit of its people, right? And that is also, you know, the big thing about Web3. You know, Web3, we think of it as a people's movement, right? It's something that serves the people. I mean, it's, you know, when you talk about blockchain technology, the root of blockchain technology is the consensus protocol. What is consensus, right? Consensus is the mechanism in which people, or in this case, nodes run by people, agree on something through a majority vote, right? So again, right, I think these are all things that I think sort of help shape that space. And I think, you know, to have a partner, if I may say so, like, you know, like Saudi, whether it be through NEOM or through KAST or so, you know, through our various other partnerships that we also have, right, in Saudi, like with, you know, SEC, for instance, and various other partners, it to us is kind of like, who could be the most influential partner in the region that can help sort of push this idea and help sort of co-invest with you to make it a reality, right? Again, I just gave this example where I think of Saudi as kind of like the China of the MENA region. I mean, again, we've seen what happens when China wants to do something, whether this is Belt and Road, whether this is technology, whether this is AI. It has an incredible impact in not just its own country, but in its direct sphere of influence. And we see the same effect here that Saudi can have. So it's very strategic for us, obviously, but I think it's really important for them also, because they can, you know, leapfrog, because that's the other thing. You know, Web3 doesn't belong to anyone. That's the other thing, right? I mean, you could argue that Web2, you know, really belongs to, I guess, America for the most part, right? Because it's American institutions and companies that control everything around Web2. Which is very different from Web 1. Web 1 didn't have quite that flavor, but Web 2 does, because of the centralization that took place, because of what Facebook and Amazon and Microsoft and Google. I mean, just imagine all these companies, right, and Apple, right? What the common thread is that they're basically all American, and they don't serve the national interests of the countries that they operate in, really, because they're private institutions, for instance. In Web 3, you have an opportunity to basically build, you know, essentially better platforms that serve the people and the interests of the people, rather than, basically big platforms that only really care about themselves. And I think that's really important. In Web3, it's not owned by anyone per se. And so I think for the kingdom to help push this forward, to me is having a great ally to help bring Web3 broader to the world. And again, as I said earlier, I think the MENA region itself is an incredible beneficiary of that technology, which we have seen, for instance, in Southeast Asia, for instance, which is a great adopter of Web3 and blockchain technology because it's helped so many people.
Absolutely. Well, that's a beautiful note on which to conclude our interview. And it's always great to have you on the show, Yat. And I'm very excited about our next adventure in just 5 weeks from the recording of this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
A quick word from our sponsors who's ready to navigate the cutting edge of tomorrow's legal landscape. Because at Zuber Lawler, they're not just attorneys, they're visionaries. With expertise in emerging technologies like AI, blockchain, and the metaverse, they're paving the way for you to seize the future. For mergers and acquisitions to IP, their selective team delivers strategic solutions tailored to the ever-changing world of technology. Join us at Zuber Lawler, where the future meets the law, at zuberlawler.com. Back to the episode.
Where can listeners go to learn more about Animoca Brands and follow you around the world?
Well, I mean, I think the easiest way, is, I post on Medium, I'm on Twitter, YSIU, that's where I basically am most active, and also LinkedIn. At Animoca Brands, of course, you can go on the website. We also have Medium. If you sign up for a newsletter, we will often post updates, press releases, and things that, we continue to do. I know we have Animoca Research, and of course, a whole bunch of people in the Animoca ecosystem, whether it's the Mochaverse, whether it's Rev Racing, whether it's, the Tower ecosystem, and sort of Gamey and all those things. I mean, we have so many projects. If you can almost kind of pick and choose which are the ones that you'd like to follow. But generally speaking, between my account, Animoca Brands, Animoca Research, Animoca Ventures, and so on, I think you've got it mostly covered.
Yeah, I would just encourage people to find sort of the sub community within the Animoca Brands ecosystem that speaks to you and dive deeper down the rabbit hole. Well, we've reached the outer limit at the edge of NFT for today. Thanks for exploring with us. We've got more space for more adventures on the Starship, so invite some friends and cool strangers and make this journey also much better. How? If you're listening, go to Spotify or iTunes right now, rate us and say something awesome. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, pass this episode on to a friend or two. Lastly, be sure to tune in next time for more great Web3 content. Thanks again for sharing this time with us today.
The views and opinions expressed on Edge of NFT reflect solely those views and opinions of the show hosts and its guests. Please make sure to do your own research. Our show is not financial advice. You understand that you are using any and all information available on or through this podcast at your own risk. Whenever making financial decisions, we recommend doing your own research and talking to your accountant for financial advice. From time to time, we may feature sponsored content on the show for which we receive value, and we may share links for which we receive a commission if you make a purchase through one of those links. Refer to our website, www.edgeofnft.com, for our full disclaimer, terms and conditions, and privacy policy.